الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وآله وصحبه ومن والاه. رب زدنا علما ولا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه، اللهم أرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه، اللهم اهد قلوبنا وارزق أنفسنا تقواها وزكها، أنت خير من زكاها. Yesterday when we spoke about the mission of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم, we said that the ulama established from the very statement of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and other statements of the Qur'an that his mission within the purpose for which Allah azza wa jal created us, and that purpose is to fulfill ubudiyah to Allah azza wa jal. Within that purpose, the mission of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as the means of attaining ubudiyah and as fruits of the consequences of ubudiyah is itmamu makarim al-akhlaq or tazkiyat al-nafs, if you will. For Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam summarized his mission by saying innama bu'ithtu li'utammima makarim al-akhlaq, and we explained what those words meant. Allah Azza wa Jal also says in the Quran, هُوَ الَّذِي بَعَثَ فِي الْأُمِّيِّينَ رَسُولًا مِّنْهُمْ يَتْلُو عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ وَإِنْ كَانُوا مِنْ قَبْلُ لَفِي ضَلَالٍ مُّبِينٍ. Says Allah Azza wa Jal, what means? It is He, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, who sent amongst the unlettered people a messenger from amongst them, who rehearses for them the signs of Allah Azza wa Jal, and yuzakkihim, purifies them, polishes them, cleanses them, that is, cleanses and polishes and purifies their anfus, that word that we used yesterday. So Allah Azza wa Jal clearly in this Qur'an and in many other ayat of the Qur'an establishes that the purpose of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam within the context, or the mission of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam within the purpose of ubudiyah, is a mission of akhlaq. And we establish that al-akhlaq, the plural of khuluq, is a state of the nafs. هيئة للنفس راسخة تصدر عنها الأفعال بيسر وسهولة من غير حاجة إلى فكر وروية. Remember that definition, and we had also translated it in English. And Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم says therefore إنما بعثت لأتمم مكارم الأخلاق. And says Allah عز وجل ونفس وما سواها فألهمها فجورها وتقواها قد أفلح من زكاها وقد خاب من دساها. Says Allah Azza wa Jal that He created the human nafs, the human being, the human soul, if you will, and directed it to its felicity and happiness and to its guidance, and also showed to it the paths of self-destruction and warned it from undertaking those paths. And then says Allah Azza wa Jal, what means? قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَ. Then he or she who spends his or her time in تَزْكِيَةً, that is, in cleansing and in purifying the nafs, such has indeed attained felicity and success and happiness. And therefore the عُبُودِيَة that we human beings were assigned as purpose by Allah Azza wa Jal, that is achieved by the path of akhlaq, by tazkiyah. And the mission of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is to show how to do that. So a nafs in a state of tazkiyah, therefore, is alhamdulillah safe from such vices as al-bukhl, as al-hasad, as al-riya, as al-kibr, as al-ujub, as al-dhulm, as hubb al-dunya, as hubb al-jah, and so on. Vices such as miserliness and greed, such as envy, hasad, such as riya, boastfulness, and to want to be seen by others and to want to impress others, such as being impressed by one's views and one's opinions, al-ujbu bi-dhati wa bin-nafs, al-kibr, arrogance, to belittle the rights of others and to exalt self above others, the excessive attachment to this dunya, and the excessive attachment to jah, to wanting status of self and wanting to gain the love of others who have status and respect of others who have status. Oppression, the opposite of adl, of justice, injustice, and so on. The ailments of our qulub, the ailments of our anfus. When a nafs is muzakkah, then it elevates itself about those. And then when it is not muzakkah, then we have vices such as those that we mentioned that become a characteristic of the self, wal-iyadu billah. And then if it is muzakkah, then we have such virtues like mahabbatullah azza wa jal, the love for Allah azza wa jal, and the longing for Allah azza wa jal. We have also al-ikhlas, that which is translated loosely as sincerity. We have al-khushu', the focus and the presence of the qalb with Allah Azza wa Jal, especially in the acts of ibadat like salah and dhikr and sawm and so on. We have those virtues like al-khawf min Allah Azza wa Jal, fear and awe from and for Allah Azza wa Jal. We have raja, we have hope in Allah Azza wa Jal. We have sabr, patience and endurance. We have shukr, gratefulness and thankfulness to Allah Azza wa Jal and to other human beings. We have haya, this defining characteristic of Islam that we spoke about partly yesterday, I believe. We have adl, justice and fairness and equity. We have modesty, tawadu'. We have ar-ridha bil-qada', to be pleased and satisfied with whatever Allah Azza wa Jal has decreed and decided for me in my dunya, and so on. And then when that is present in the nafs of an individual, then that of course sets a course for society, sets a philosophy of institutions. It is translated in this challenge of life. But when that is not present, when that khuluq hasan, when that beautiful khuluq is not present as a consequence of not taking care of the inner image, remember that we spoke about yesterday, we're not being caring about that inner image, and we care only, as most of us sometimes are, wal-iyadu billah, about our external images only. When we do not cleanse the internal image, when we do not beautify the internal image, that is khuluq, then we have ugly characteristics, and those characteristics will translate into ugly actions at the individual level, at the family level, at the community level, at a country level, at a society level, and at a world level. And therefore, I hope we understand and we appreciate the statements of mission and of causality in the Quran, when Allah Azza wa Jal says again that He sent Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in the meaning of the ayah I recited earlier, I recited that He sent a messenger to you from amongst you in order that He helps you cleanse the nafs. And we had established that only such nafs that is cleansed somehow, and of course could be cleansed at the greatest level, is the nafs that shall attain felicity in this dunya, with the proper definition of felicity and happiness, and most of all, felicity and sa'ada in akhirah. And remember, we spoke yesterday of those who never ever tasted of the Jannah of this dunya. As some ulama have said, rahimahumullah, like I said, Ibn Taymiyyah, Ibn al-Qayyim, وغيرهم rahimahumullah, jami'an, had said, then such a person will never taste of the Jannah of the hereafter. And what is the lazza and the Jannah in this dunya? What is it? That's right. And what was it in the Arabic terminology? Hubbullah Azza wa Jal. And that, other words we use? Ash-shawqu ila Allah Azza wa Jalla wal-unsu bihi. Please remember that. Ash-shawqu ila Allah Azza wa Jalla wal-unsu bihi. To long your heart, when the qalb longs for Allah Azza wa Jal and finds its joy and its peace in being with Allah Azza wa Jal in this dunya. When we spend sometimes moments in retreat or in solitude, and then we feel so filled up that we don't want anything else, and we feel a joy and a longing, sometimes that is a taste of that Jannah in this dunya. But when the qalb is not properly cleansed and properly polished, that will never be felt. Because the nafs of ours is a nafs that we perhaps never tried to understand. We spend, as you know, a lot of time and a lot of resources understanding our physical bodies and learning about them and curing them and enhancing the way they look. That external image again that we spoke about yesterday. But rarely are we as concerned with that inner image and that internal image. So we don't even know. I don't know my nafs. I don't know my nafs. And if I don't know my nafs, then I do not know how to help it, remember, take on the journey back home to Allah Azza wa Jal, to Jannah. If I don't know my nafs, what is a nafs? What makes up a nafs? What is the happiness of a nafs? And what is the misery of a nafs? And how to attain its happiness and how to avoid its misery? When I don't understand my nafs, then I am not on the proper course, remember, on that journey back home. Some words about what is this nafs, as our earliest ulama, rahimahumullah, teach us from the analysis of the Quran and the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, and the words and the experiences of the early Sahaba and the early Salaf radiyallahu ta'ala anhum wa ardahum ajma'een. And that is, if you will, Islamic psychology. What is my nafs? What is this psyche? What is this nafs? They say, and it is something demonstrative, something that can be rationalized and argued in very strong arguments, that the nafs of ours is comprised of, if you will, states or levels. In each one of us, there are four states of the nafs, or four manifestations of the nafs. Number one, they say, النفس البهيمية. النفس البهيمية, or the cattle-like nafs. Like a behemoth. بهيمة الأنعام, as Allah Azza wa Jal mentions in the Quran, أولئك كالأنعام بل هم أضل, says Allah Azza wa Jal, describing the kuffar, whose that is anfus and whose hearts were totally veiled at the time. They are like cattle, nay worse, says Allah Azza wa Jal. And in each one of us there is that cattle-like nafs, or state of a nafs. And the cattle pursues, if you will, its happiness by what? Eating? Drinking? Sleeping? And copulating. Amen. Eating? Drinking? Sleeping? Copulating. You can summarize all of that there. They're all reducible to these four. Do we have an instinct to eat and to drink and to sleep and to copulate? Do we? You said no? Of course you do. Everyone has those instincts. Otherwise, we'll starve to death. Otherwise, human species will not exist. But remember, the point is the cattle that is the focus of its sa'adah. The fulfillment of the sa'adah of a cattle is in cultivating and developing and having more of those and only those in general. When a human being cultivates that part of the self and develops that part of the self until it becomes perhaps overdeveloped, then the person lives a life of a behemoth. That the nafs of that person is a behemi nafs, is a nafs that finds its satisfaction in eating, drinking, sleeping and copulating. And those concepts, of course, in societies are also, and in homes and in communities, are sophisticated and institutionalized and even become philosophies of life. And then the rest, the sophistication of human beings in terms of achieving those instincts, if you will, of that cattle-like nafs, the sophistication will simply sometimes only obscure it to the unfamiliar amongst us. And then we go on developing and cultivating that type of cattle-like nafs in our lives. And then we are interested mostly or only in how to have better food, more food, better drinks and more drinks and types of drinks, ways to sleep and how to sleep and the comfort of different comforts of sleep, and then copulating, which we call sexual freedom, and the parties for what? For more eating and drinking and copulating, and even clubs and meetings and so on, and working hard so that at the end of the weekend, to do what? To satisfy the cattle-like nafs by partying, meaning eating, drinking, sleeping and copulating, and all types of inventions and of smart ways, if you will, to enhance more of the cattle-like instinct in us. So if I am a cattle-like, if I have a cattle-like nafs, then I shall make, of course, my best to maximize that type of happiness. And human beings exist like that too. And then there is another state of the nafs that our ulama call, rahmahumullah, and rightly so, the sabu'i nafs. Sabu'i. As-sabu'a. And that is the predator-like nafs. Or the predatory nafs. like a predator. I'm not going to say a lion, like a hyena. And those predators, besides eating and sleeping and drinking and copulating, they have something else that is not, let's say, in the chicken or in the cow or in the goat. And that is what? Killing, attacking, usurping, taking territory. The predators also, self-satisfaction lies in predatory activity. And we human beings have that nafs as well, that element of the nafs as well. And that we nourish, don't we? By usurping the rights of others at the individual level, at the community level, at the societal level, at the international level, and we institutionalize them as well. Even in very simple activities, we act as predators. We have predatory-like, if you will, vices or attributes or qualities. And there is an urge to satisfy them. And if a person's life is spent in satisfying that type of urge, that type of shahwa, then a person becomes like a predator, wal-iyadu billah. And then you may have a human being, a Muslim or a non-Muslim, who has a combination of a cattle-like nafs and a sabu'i nafs, and a predator nafs. A coefficient of this and a coefficient of that. And maybe cattle-like predator-like nafs. Or perhaps if the predator-like nafs is more powerful and more developed and more cultivated by so many means that are available always to humanity and nowadays, then the person develops more a predator-like nafs. Or a person develops more a cattle-like nafs. Which one dominates? Which nafs do I have? Which nafs do you have? Do I take time to study and to ponder and to reflect on my nafs? And there is a third type of nafs. They call it الشيطاني نفس. الشيطاني نفس. النفس الشيطانية. The satanic نفس. Or the devil-like نفس. And the devil finds satisfaction. Shaitan finds satisfaction. How? What is the happiness of a shaitan? Happiness in inverted commas. What is it? نعم? Deceiving. Huh? Cheating, committing evil, spreading hate, enhancing the other qualities, the other lower vices of the nafs to help us develop more cattle-like nafs and more a predator-like nafs. The shaitani instinct leads a person to want to feel lord over others. We want to feel that lordship through leadership over others and to express it so powerfully and to draw delight from it. You know, some human beings have so much wealth. They were so much predators after the cattle-like stage that all of that is not enough, so they seek another happiness by subduing others. And that is to want to be lords over others, as the shaitan wanted. And the backbiting, and the conspiracies, and the deceptions, and the lyings. All of those are shaitani-like attributes. And human anfus have of that too. If that is cultivated, if that is developed, then the person is more of a shaitan than of a predator or of a cattle, or again, a combination of all of those defines the nafs of that individual. And thus sometimes of that community, or of that society, or of that nation, or of that civilization. Where do I belong? Which nafs do I have? Which side of my nafs I have been cultivating so far? Have I been up to this point aware and rightly aware of these sides or states in my nafs? Have I been watchful to make sure which one to cultivate? And then there is, walhamdulillah, Allah Azza wa Jalla instilled in this nafs to make the entire nafs, instilled what they call a nafs al-malaikiyya, the malaiki side of the nafs, or the literally the angelic side or state of the nafs. And that is the nafs that is nourished from above, nourished from the world of the ruh, nourished by the divine values, nourished by the divine guidance, nourished by the akhlaq of al-anbiya wa rusul. It is there also. And its sa'ada is what? The happiness of such a side of the nafs is what? Is it to eat? Because it's heavenly. Its origin is rawhan. The earthly food does not lead to its satisfaction and its happiness. Drinking, copulating, sleeping, all of these are space-like or and time-like qualities. And the sa'ada of such a nafs and of such a qalb, as is well established in our deen, is through what? Attainment of ilm and ma'rifah that lead to hubbullah azza wa jal. Ilm, knowledge, and ma'rifah that lead to the mahabba of Allah azza wa jal. Because that is the origin of that nafs. And it wants always to go back to its original state. And it is must be nourished from its own world. They say that this body and the nafs and the ruh, sometimes all of these words are used interchangeably, ruh and nafs and qalb and aql, but at other times they are used to mean different things, and that's not the subject matter of today's. They say this body is mounted by the nafs. In other words, the body, the physical body, the four-dimensional attribute of a human being, are like the horse, if you will, the mount that a rider uses. The rider and the horse. So the nafs or the ruh is the rider, and this and these physical attributes are the mount or the horse. So you use it to travel. And then when the horse gets hungry, what do you do? What do you do? You get off the horse and you let the horse graze eating grass. Will you eat grass with the horse? Is that how you nourish yourself as a rider? Is that how we nourish ourselves? Everyone who does that would be called a fool in four-dimensional world. Or crazy, or mad. Yet, this ruh, and this nafs, and this qalb of ours, we starve them in a world that is strange to them, because this is an earthly world, and we force upon them earthly ways and earthly nourishments. Like a rider getting off his horse and going to eat grass and dung with his horse or with his camel. Allah Azza wa Jal
make that nafs, the malaiki nafs, to be also nourished. And in our lives, a balance is to be struck between all of these. And the person whose cattle-like nafs is more developed and cultivated will live like that. And his or her happiness is pursued in cattle-like pursuits. And the person whose nafs is predatory will attain his or her happiness. You find Muslims and non-Muslims feeling satisfied and fulfilled by being predatory, economically and socially and politically and military and so on and so forth, at the family level, at the community level, at the individual level, and so on. And you find the person whose shaitani nafs is developed and cultivated acts as a shaitan, wal-iyad billah, in deceiving, in deception, in conspiracy, in lying, in backbiting, in evilness. Because that nafs, my dear brother and sister, has perhaps, or the most highly developed side of it is the shaitani side. And you find someone whose nafs is a combination of all of those, but one of them is most preeminent and most dominant. And some, walillah alhamd, their malaiki nafs is most developed and most cultivated, and therefore they have balanced the cattle-like and the predatory-like nafs in order to use it indeed as a mount for the rawhani nafs, and to continue to develop those attributes that will enable it to attain that greater state of happiness in this dunya, and most importantly, in Akhirah. And therefore, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, في قوله, إِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُ لِأُتَمِّمَ مَكَارِمَ الْأَخْلَاقِ, when he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, again, what means, I was surely sent for the purpose to fulfill the most excellent ways of akhlaq. And we explained that akhlaq is the plural of khuluq, and the khuluq is the state, the inner state of the nafs, with the details that we mentioned yesterday and some today. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to help us, to show us how to raise that nafs to the balanced form. How to realize within us those lower states of the nafs. And how to realize in us the exalted state of the nafs, and how to develop and cultivate the exalted malaiki state of the nafs, so that our qalb, now used in a different meaning, so that our qalb, the side of it on the nafs, takes that which is predominant, mainly the malaiki attributes, and some of it towards its own world of the ruh, and takes only that which is heavenly and beautiful, and therefore the qalb only receives that which is constructive, that which will help it attain tuma'nina. And the purpose of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is so that you and I, in other words, the purpose very simplified. I told you yesterday, my dear brothers and sisters, that the equation of life is very simple. And that simplified mission of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is so that you and I will end up where? In Jannah and not in Nar. And in Jannah there are levels of happiness. Equation is very simple. The rest are details. And the rest are interpretations and consequences and so on. And that's why some ulama would say that the purpose or the objectives of this deen are number one, tawheed, number two, tazkiyah, and the third are consequences. Such as those who call it al-imran, that is to form a civilization, an Islamic civilization. Islamic civilization is a consequence of tawheed, which breeds or generates akhlaq. And when there is Tawheed, remember, that's the purpose for which you are created. تحقيق العبودية لله عز وجل. Then it leads to tazkiyah as a means and as a fruit. And then that will generate a civilization, a imran, a hadara. But to speak only of the good things externally, of da'wah, of political activity, of social activity, of all types of beneficial activities, to speak about them and to practice them without this concept of akhlaq, then it is like an empty shell that has nothing inside. It looks attractive, it may look solid, but if you press it, it will implode on itself. Without the core, all of these activities of a human being, without the proper state of the nafs, are like that empty shell. That is why Allah Azza wa Jal, on the Day of Judgment, for example, does not accept the good deeds of a mushrik. Because they are externally good, but they do not emanate from a nafs that is properly polished. And that is why Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَعْمَالُهُمْ كَصَرَابٍ بِقِيعَةٍ يَحْسَبُهُ الظَّمْآنُ مَاءً حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءَهُ لَمْ يَجِدْهُ شَيْئًا وَوَجَدَ اللَّهَ عِنْدَهُ فَوَفَّاهُ حِسَابَهُ. وكذلك يقول الله عز وجل, وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَعْمَالُهُمْ كَرَمَادٍ اشْتَدَّتْ بِهِ الْرِيحُ فِي يَوْمٍ عَاصِفٍ لَا يَقْدِرُونَ عَلَى شَيْءٍ مِّمَّا كَسَبُوا, says Allah عز وجل. What means, those who have rejected Iman, who have rejected Allah عز وجل and rejected Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, their deeds, their actions are like a mirage. We know what a mirage is, right? Every time we got closer to that place where we thought we saw a pond of water, when we arrive at that point, there is nothing. This is the parable Allah sets in the Quran for those whose external activities may be attractive, but whose anfus are empty, especially if they are filled with kufr and nifaq and riya and so on. Then they shall come on the Day of Judgment, and they are assuming they are going to find their accounts full, and there is nothing. And Allah Azza wa Jal gives another example pertaining to the same category of people, that their actions are like dust or ashes in the strong winds. Take ashes and hold your hands in the strong winds. What will there be? Nothing. Haba'an manthura. Yes, my dear brothers and sisters, we live in a world that is very challenging at the external image level, remember? Even good actions and Samaritan actions and humanitarian actions have become very attractive, but they are very empty inside. And we are drawn to that. We are drawn to that until they become, or that mode of life, or that style of humanitarian life even, becomes a philosophical model of ours. Out of our weakness, out of the nafs itself that is weak, that is yet to realize what it is. And in which state it is, and which one, which side is yet to be developed, and how to produce that balance. In addition to that, and I'm going to be inshallah as brief, and these are hopefully inshallah azza wa jal, if you will, introductory statements that help us perhaps that help, if you will, provide in us and stimulate in us an interest to learn more and to study more and to find out more and to pursue a patient, long course in this journey of Ubudiyya back home to Jannah, inshaAllah ta'ala. In addition to that, my dear brothers and sisters, in addition to this nafs, there is what? Shaytan, isn't it? You are all Muslims. And shaytan, is it a fact or a fiction? It's a fact. If you say it's a fiction, that's a statement of kufr. Has anyone seen shaytan? Maybe never. So if you are of the individuals who believe only on that which is called the ilm kasbi, empirical knowledge that has to be demonstrable in the laboratory, then you are still living in the hissi world, the world of the infants and the world of the cattle. Forgive me. For even good scientists know better. Because once upon a time, science used to believe that there was only a classical world, and only classical laws and only classical physics. And until they acknowledge, they discovered and they acknowledged the existence of an inner world called the quantum world, their knowledge of physics was incomplete. They realized that there are certain laws in the classical world that don't work anymore at a deeper world. Strange. Empirical science fails at a certain level. Classical empirical science fails at one level. And they had to acknowledge the existence of quantum physics, though some early scientists did not accept that, including Einstein, who said, God does not play dice. Because in the science of quantum mechanics, there is a lot of statistics as well. That was his notion. But until that world, that if you will, that hidden world, that did not operate in accordance to the classical laws of physics, was acknowledged, that we learn of the physical world better and more things. So there is a world out there that the his does not necessarily perceive, and there is other knowledge that perceives it and that understands it. And that shaitan is part of that. And shaitan knows that the most prized possession or the most prized trust of ours in this universe is your qalb and mine. Shaitan knows that the most prized trust and possession in this universe for a human being is his or her qalb. Shaitan knows that the most prized trust and possession in this universe for a human being is his or her qalb. And therefore, he has made it an oath, as you know. He had made it an oath, as you know. To endeavor and to struggle to occupy that qalb. To occupy that qalb. And occupying that qalb is done in ways. Enhancing, cultivating and developing in you and me the three lower states of the nafs. So that the qalb side directed towards the nafs captivates only that much. the side of the nafs that is reflected in the qalb is the lower three states. He does that incessantly. And when we follow those states of the nafs, we follow our shahawat. That is our, if you will, shahawat in this sense, figuratively speaking, that is our lower desires, because shahawat, the plural of shahwa, is positive or negative. There is positive shahwa and negative shahwa, but usually the ulama, when they use the word shahwat, they mean the negative aspect of shahwa, such as the characteristics and the vices we mentioned earlier, like miserliness, like greed, like anger, like love of this dunya, like love of leadership, and so on and so forth, injustice, etc. And shaitan wants to occupy that qalb by doing that, and he knows what the gates of that qalb are. Remember, by developing those lower three states. And in other words, in more simpler terms, the gates to the fortress called your qalb and mine are what you think. What are they? In other words, what are the gates that shaitan uses to enter the fortress called al-qalb? Huh? Our desires, our shahawat. Indeed. The ulama put it in the words, our own qualities. I think that's more interesting. صفات الإنسان ذاتها هي الأبواب التي يأتي الشيطان منها ويدخل منها إلى قلوبنا. صفاتنا ذاتها. Our very attributes and qualities, when they are negative, are the gates that Shaitan uses to enter the hearts. Some of those qualities or vices or attributes I mentioned. And we choose to have them, don't we? By cultivating and developing the three lower states of the nafs. And because we choose to have them, in other words, we invite shaitan inside our qalb. And that is why Allah Azza wa Jalla, we understand, said that shaitan has, the meaning of the text, إِنَّ عِبَادِي لَيْسَ لَكَ عَلَيْهِمْ سُلْطَانٌ إِلَّا مَنِ اتَّبَعَكَ مِنَ الْغَاوِينَ. My ibad, underline the word ibad, you shaitan has no authority over them, except those of them who choose to follow you. Min al-ghaween, that is those who went astray, and therefore who went astray, their lives, their selves were imbalanced. They tilted towards the other, lower levels of the nafs, and chose therefore to open their hearts to shaitan, and then shaitan finds it open and comes in and resides therein. That is how shaitan comes into your qalb and mind, by invitation. And the more we continue to develop those negative attributes, those negative akhlaq, the deeper shaitan will reside in the qalb. And when shaitan deeply resides in the qalb, then truth becomes falsehood, and falsehood becomes truth, or truth becomes partly falsehood, and falsehood becomes partly truth. Because when the qalb is occupied by shaitan, when the qalb is veiled, you know what happens? Knowledge is obscured. The system, even the cognitive system, is affected. And our analyses of things, of events, and our judgments are obscured. Rationally speaking, that is why Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the Quran, وَلَا تُطِعْ مَنْ أَغْفَلْنَا قَلْبَهُ عَنْ ذِكْرِنَا وَاتَّبَعَ هَوَاهُ وَكَانَ أَمْرُهُ فُرُطًا. Says Allah Azza wa Jalla, establishing the truth here, says, do not obey those of our creatures, those human beings, whose hearts, number one, we have made oblivious to our dhikr. And number two, the one who follows his or her own nafs. Do not obey them. They don't reason right. And this text and other texts, the ulama rahimahumullah conclude that indeed, al-dhunub, disobedience of Allah Azza wa Jal, indulging the three lower states of the nafs, obscure our even cognitive abilities, intellectual prowess and clarity, rational judgment. A consequence of developing those three lower states of the nafs. وَلَا تُطِعْ مَنْ أَغْفَلْنَا قَلْبَهُ عَنْ ذِكْرِنَا وَاتَّبَعَ هَوَاهُ وَكَانَ أَمْرُهُ فُرُطًا. The first point is, shaitan keeps residing in the qalb of an individual, or easily attacks the qalb of an individual, even if that person is a mu'min, and mashallah, his or her khuluq are balanced. If his or her khuluq are balanced, shaitan still attacks. And shaitan is able to penetrate in the qalb in moments of ghafla. That's what Allah Azza wa Jal says. وَلَا تُطِعْ مَنْ أَغْفَلْنَا قَلْبَهُ عَنْ ذِكْرِنَا. The individual whose heart we made oblivious, unaware, negligent of our dhikr. And ghafla is therefore a state of absence of dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jal. And that is why, in conclusion here, Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma in the tafaseer is related to have said in the commentary on the surah that inshallah you all memorize, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ مَلِكِ النَّاسِ إِلَهِ النَّاسِ مِنْ شَرِّ الْوَسْوَاسِ الْخَنَّاسِ مِنْ شَرِّ الْوَسْوَاسِ الْخَنَّاسِ الْوَسْوَاسِ الْخَنَّاسِ. Who is الْوَسْوَاسِ الْخَنَّاسِ? Shaitan. I seek refuge in Allah from the shar, from the evil of al-waswas al-khannas. What is waswas? What is khannas? Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma is related to have said, أَنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ جَاثِمٌ عَلَىٰ قَلْبِ ibn Adam. That shaitan stands on guard, watchful over the heart of the child of Adam. إِذَا غَفَلَ وَسْوَسْ وَإِذَا ذَكَرَ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى خَنَسْ. And that's why he's called وَسْوَسْ خَنَسْ. So when the individual is in a state of ghafla, not in a state of dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jal, shaitan attacks. وَسْوَسْ then comes and suggests and intrigues and obscures and unleashes his legions. But when the abd comes into dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jal, khanas, khanas, then khanas meaning the one who flees and disappears and runs away and turns away. And then once the person is in dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jal, the shaitan runs away. Developing the akhlaq, the exalted akhlaq of that angelic nafs, bringing it to be developed over the lower states of the self, number one, and that is staying away from al-dhunub and from indulging in that which is displeasing to Allah Azza wa Jal, major level, minor level, and finer minor levels, number one, and keeping the qalb and the tongue in dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jal, briefly said, are the gates by which we enter Jannah, and the means by which we enter Jannah. Otherwise, that nafs is forsaken, and the qalb is forsaken, and the human person is forsaken, and the human family is forsaken, and the human community is forsaken, and the human culture is forsaken, and the human civilization is forsaken. Each one of us must begin there and continue there until hopefully we go to Allah Azza wa Jal at an individual level first and then at a community level thereafter with a qalb that is in a state of balance, or at least close to that, inshaAllah ta'ala. These are the essential elements, if you will, of the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam, which we must admit have been totally forsaken or greatly forsaken in a world that is very materialistically attractive and dangerously attractive. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله العظيم لي ولكم فإن قلت صوابا فمن الله وحده وإن قلت غير ذلك فمن نفسي ومن جهلي ومن الشيطان أعوذ بالله أن أذكر به وأنساه. Had I said anything correct, it's from Allah Azza wa Jalla alone. Anything improper or incorrect, Allah and His Rasul are absolved from that. It is only due to my nafs, my ignorance, and shaitan. I seek refuge in Allah Azza wa Jalla, that I remind you of Him, yet I myself forget Him. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. If there is time, yes. Is there time for questions? How much do you have until? Until 11:45? Alhamdulillah, yes, you are first.
You mentioned that for the additional word, what is the
definition of vibration? Oh, yeah. XYZT. Does it help? No. That is space, the three dimensions of space, length, width, and height, that's this space, and time with them. Because we live in a world that is space and subject to time. So we call that a four-dimensional world. Our world, everything that lives in this universe is a four-dimensional entity, subject to the changes of space and time. But the ruh is not subject to the changes of place and of time. Right? Why have we had command of a shayateen al jinn, so that we would like to shed some light on shayateen al ins? I hope we first understand shayateen al jinn, and we have a lot to learn about shayateen al jinn, because we oftentimes disregard shayateen al jinn and we think by empirical knowledge we have conquered them. Wrong. However, Allah Azza wa Jalla indeed, and Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam indeed, speak of the shayateen amongst the ins as well, amongst the human beings. And guess what? From what I said earlier, what do you think they are? What have we said earlier? Shayateen al-ins therefore become those whose shaitani nafs is developed. Those, a human being who has wal-iyadu billah, not masha'Allah, wal-iyadu billah, developed and overdeveloped his or her shaitani nafs. A person whose shaitani instincts, the shaitani side of the nafs, is developed. And that's a shaitani ins, wal-iyadu billah. And some of those shayateen, as some scholars had said, they learn, they teach shayateen al-jinn. Some scholars had said, some shayateen of jinns follow in the footsteps of some shayateen of ins, of humans, wal-iyadu billah, Allah ta'ala alam. Yes, sister. Alhamdulillah, definitely we can talk about that at least for a few hours. But her question is a very practical question. She... Mahlan ya Alayas? Her question is, you spoke of continuous dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jal. How could we incorporate that in our everyday life? Especially those who have to go to work, who have to go to work, who have to go to work and so on. Well, it could indeed be incorporated, but very briefly, there is, alhamdulillah, we can learn about that gradually, but very briefly, look, there are certain things to be said you with your tongue and gradually get your qalb to be present. If you can say, when you're driving, when you're at work, even when if you are performing a surgery, if you are in a state of subhanallah wa bihamdih, subhanallah al-azim, if you can keep that up, because then the lower nafs will tell you, this is boring one day. If you can keep that up, inshaAllah ta'ala, it will raise you to another level, inshaAllah. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is related to have said in an authentic text, was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam busy? Were you, was I, is anyone here busier than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Keep that in mind. Keep that in mind. He was always in dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jal. Always was he in dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jal. So he taught, for example, لَأَنْ أَقُولَ سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ وَبِحَمْدِهِ أَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ مِمَّا طَلَعَتْ عَلَيْهِ الشَّمْسِ. حديث صحيح. Can you keep this up? Says he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if for me to say سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ وَبِحَمْدِهِ is more beloved to me than all what comes under the rising sun. Keep that. Can you keep that in the morning, in the afternoon, when you walk, when you're driving? Feel it. And if you keep just that, I'm not going to give you more. Just that. Keep it up. It will lead you, inshaAllah ta'ala, to the next step. And you will find someone else to ask at that moment. Yes. السبعية. خيرا إن شاء الله. That is, it is time. حفظكم الله جزاكم الله خيرا. نسأل الله عز وجل أن يجعلنا من الذين يستمعون القول فيتبعون أحسنه. We ask Allah عز وجل to let us be of those who listen to the words of admonition and follow the best of them. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.